His Honor, the City of Racine Mayor, Corey Mason, is here. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Are you really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bright, sunny day.
It's cold out there, though. What's the city going to do about that?
Yeah, I know, right?
You're in charge. What are you going to do about that cold weather? You promised us beautiful weather. Yeah. Actually, it's going to be beautiful for Monday, Memorial Day.
It is.
Let's start off with Memorial Day.
Yeah. Just a reminder to everybody, we do the parade every year over on West Boulevard, and we wind up at the War Memorial in the cemetery when it's done. But it's a great celebration of those who've paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our liberties and our freedom. And I think it'll be particularly meaningful this year with it being the 250th anniversary of America. But for those who we see out there every year, looking forward to seeing you again. But for those who might not know about it, if you're looking for a way to honor those who've, you know, given the ultimate sacrifice and preservation of our freedom, we have a Memorial Day parade that starts on Monday morning. And again, then we have a program that we do every year at the War Memorial in the cemetery. And if you've not seen the War Memorial, it is worth checking out. I know a lot of people say, so where is that exactly? But if you go back into the cemetery there, it's really worth seeing. So we'd encourage people to remember those who've given so much so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we live under.
Here's some other things. And I always feel funny saying happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, I don't think that's the right phrase.
It's not happy. I hear people say it all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what you say, but it's not happy Memorial Day.
No, we've
it's happy Veterans Day.
It is.
But it's not happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, I mean, what we're celebrating is a somber day, right? We're doing an in memoriam for those who died. And again, if you go to the cemetery there and, you know, Mound and Graceland, there's war dead from people going all the way back to the Revolutionary War to more recent folks who've given the ultimate sacrifice. So, you know, it is a somber day. And again, I think it's a good way to remember those from our community that have given so much so that we can enjoy our freedoms.
I go to Union Grove Cemetery. That's where my father-in-law, he was a U.S. Marine. He didn't die in combat, but he's buried there. And that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Just so you know, in case you want to see me. And so they do a ceremony from the American Legion Post. Every year they bring out the gun salute. They have a high schooler play taps, and they choose one person who passed away the most recently. And my father-in-law was honored too, because they didn't have anybody, thank goodness, that passed away recently. But there is an American Revolutionary War dead buried right there in Union Grove Memorial Cemetery. Not the Veteran Cemetery, the Memorial Cemetery on Highway 45. And I'm thinking, Matt, this is the guy he fought. He's at the beginning.
No, it's. I mean, there's three Revolutionary War veterans buried in Mound Cemetery. I mean, it's kind of an amazing thing.
But they were there at the beginning.
It does make you, like, you sort of wonder, it's like, were they like 15 when they fought this war? And then they came over here to the West and, you know, when it was clearly the frontier. And yeah, you wonder what their stories are. Is like, where were you that you were fighting in the Revolutionary War in the 13 colonies that you then wound up at the end of your life in Racine, Wisconsin? It's a great question that I would love for somebody to figure out. But yeah, it's an amazing way to think about it.
I took a tour of Mound Cemetery. There was somebody gave us a tour. And the first mayor of Racine did not have a headstone for decades and decades and decades. And finally, people got together, pooled their money, and got him a headstone.
Well, that's nice.
How does that happen?
I do not know. It would have happened long before I came along.
Yeah, so no, we're not blaming you.
But I don't know.
This is not part of your administration.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you want something else to do, we had some guests in here from the Pritzker Military Museum and Library. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it. I've driven past it.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a spaceship landed in the middle of some farm fields. I've not had the chance to be inside of it. I've been invited to a couple events down there. Unfortunately, had scheduling conflicts with stuff here in Racine. But I am told that it is an amazing facility.
It is. And their open house and their ceremonies are this Saturday.
Oh, great.
They're on Saturday, I think 11 o'clock. I don't know. Here somewhere. I was all prepared here to give it. Oh, here it is. I had it. Now I don't have it. Anyways, the Pritzker Military Museum and Library. And they're located on, I think, 12th Street, 12th Avenue in Summers. You can't miss the building.
You cannot.
He told me what the building was architecture from, and I can't remember what it was now. But if you want to know, you can check out our podcast at wrjn.com, civicmedia.us, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And just check it out. There, he was on about a week or so ago. That should be interesting. Okay. I have so many papers here. Okay, let's talk about Clean Sweep. Now, what is that?
Yeah, so we did two of them last year, and we're doing three this year, but we did our first one. But essentially what we do is we'll pick a neighborhood, and we'll bring sort of all the city resources together, right? So the forestry equipment, the fire trucks, the DPW, you know, we'll bring out some dumpsters. And we go in and we replace sidewalk squares that need replacing, and we'll fill potholes, and we'll, you know, cut back some abandoned lots if there's overgrown weeds, and do some tree trimming where it's needed, remove some tree stumps if they've been abandoned. But it's basically a neighborhood cleanup where we work with the residents there. And then, you know, with the homeowners that are there, we can do some light construction work to repair fences or porches or some of the other things where they might need some light repairs. It's just a neighborhood cleanup that we do for 2 days. What was great about the neighborhood we picked here is right at 10th and Center, which is where the new Red Apple School is, right? So we were really able to involve the kids in, you know, planting some flowers and leaving some potted flowers on people's porches. But it was a great way for the new school children that are new to that neighborhood to meet the neighbors that were there, and for the neighbors to meet them. So it was a really positive experience. And, you know, people were really thrilled to be there and see city staff there really doing everything they could. The firefighters installed, I think, dozens of smoke alarms and fire detectors in people's homes. We really got a great feedback on it. And, you know, you will hear from people say, why can't we do more to clean up some of these neighborhoods? So we'll pick three neighborhoods this year. We've done the first one. The next one will be on Prospect, and I believe the third one will be in Racine Street. But it just gives us a chance to clean up the neighborhoods, bring all our city resources together, and improve the neighborhood with the folks who live there. So we've had really great response from it. I would love to tell you that I invented this idea, but I was actually at a conference and heard a presentation about the city of Buffalo that does this. And I'm like, well, that sounds like a really great idea.
Be too honest. I would have taken credit. That's just the way I am. That's how we're different.
Well, I will say, you know, one of the things about being mayor is, you know, you can learn a lot from other people who've done this job either in different places or in different ways. And yeah, maybe you come up with some good ideas yourself, but if you're willing to learn from other people who've had some success and can bring those good ideas at home, that's worth doing too.
If people want to find out what neighborhood, date, time, and everything, where do they go?
If you go to the Build Up Racine website, it'll have where the next ones are. Again, it'll be on part of Prospect at some point in July, and then we'll do Racine Street in September. So we have that going on. And then the other thing that we should mention that's sort of related to Clean Sweep, but is the home repair grants that we have out there right now. So we have five of these, what are called neighborhood tax increment districts, that do these home repair grants for homeowners. And right now we're doing TID 27, which is sort of...
Now TID is what, for people that don't know?
Tax increment district. So what we've done is we've set aside the increased value in these neighborhoods and set them aside into a segregated account, and then homeowners in those neighborhoods can come apply to do home repairs to their home up to $10,000. So if they need a new porch or a new roof or new windows or whatever it might be, it gives us the opportunity to do that. And that really helps those homeowners, particularly if they're on fixed incomes, get to a place where they can get their homes back up to code, up to the building code, and make sure that it's a safe place for them to be.
Back to Clean Sweep. Yeah. Can I get my backyard on that list?
Yeah, unfortunately, no. If you were in the neighborhood, we could probably help you. I mean, which is actually happening. Some neighborhood people are like, I got a big thing in the back. And can we throw that out?
We need some brush cleaned in my backyard.
And we have done that, right? Yeah. I mean, particularly for some of the houses that might be abandoned or overgrown. And so, you know, it's really, we pick them in part, you know, we have a neighborhood enhancement district that'll go in and, you know, write up code violations for houses that are out of compliance. But, you know, we need to enforce the code, particularly for landlords if they're not keeping their houses up. But we also, where we can, want to create some resources to help people out if they're having a hard time pay for those things.
So in my backyard, about a third of the backyard, beginning May, we left for the bees.
The no-mow May.
We mowed everything up to third. Then the next week, it got smaller. And the week after that, it got small. Now there's a small square. And they put the bees on notice. After this weekend, you're on your own. I don't see anything else to pollinate in that square.
That's great.
It's like a 4-foot square part of, and then it's...
How tall is it, though?
It's not as tall as you might think.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
The lawnmower can take it. I got a brand new lawnmower.
Oh, there you go.
His Honor, City of Racine Mayor Corey Mason is here. Lead removal in the pipes. Why do they put lead in there to begin with?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, a lot of these lead pipes that we're moving are lead pipes that are 100 years old, right? I mean, it's kind of amazing. But obviously in the 1920s, they weren't thinking through. mean, lead is a very robust material, right? It lasts for a long time. And if you didn't know that it was going to leach harmful chemicals into the drinking supply, you wouldn't know better. But we do know better now. And so, you know, we've had a total of 12,000 some pipes that had lead in them, and we've removed about 2,000 of them over the last decade, right? We've been doing it pretty slowly. But with the new federal mandates and federal funding that's available, we've made the commitment to remove the remaining 10,000 lead laterals and lead mains in the next 5 years. And so it's an aggressive approach. We got a $40 million grant to be able to help pay for it. And so we're starting, we have sort of five neighborhoods that we'll do over the next 5 years. The area we're doing now is like just north of the river and east of the lake. We're doing that neighborhood. We'll do 1,200 of those this year and another 3,800 next year. And, you know, we're going to keep it rolling until we get it done. But we wanted to talk about it for a couple reasons. I mean, first of all, it was great to have all the cameras down from Milwaukee to do it. I think they really wanted to see the actual action of taking the pipe out and then connecting a new pipe in and doing all that. But we really wanted people to know a couple things. It's free to you. There's no cost. Nobody's going to send you a bill to replace this lead pipe to make sure you've got safe drinking water, because there is no safe level of lead in our drinking water. So we really need to get those lead pipes replaced. But the other thing is, we need a right of entry form signed by the property owners to be able to get into their yards to replace it. So we also want to let the community know, if people come knocking on your doors and it says, you know, Equiflow, City of Racine, lead pipe program, that's a real thing, right? I mean, we really do need permission to be able to, they need to be able to get in there and into the basement and sort of see where the lead line comes in and make sure they remove it safely. So they do need those right of entry forms signed. And so we're asking as people come into the neighborhoods and do that, that there's a chance for us to be able to earn your trust and do that. But it's again, no cost to the property owner, and it allows us to make sure that you and your kids have safe drinking water.
My pipe leading into my house is clay. That's how old it
is. Wow.
And so when the guy came to look at it, he said, it's in great shape. It's clay, because my house is like 115 years old.
We do still have some pipes that are clay and wood, believe it or not.
Yeah, the wood ones were on 6th Street. I remember I saw them. Yeah. And wooden pipes.
Yeah.
So in my neighborhood, well, I live on Main Street. They aren't digging up the streets. They're doing something which is different. They're putting a liner in the pipes. And it saves the city from having to dig up Main Street and replace it. And they've been doing it for a while. They send cameras down there to check it out. Sure. Then they inflate the liner.
Yep.
The guy, I went up to him. I said, well, can I see how this works? I got my flashlight. He showed me the whole thing. He said, well, here's what we're doing. And I said, that's transparency.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is for the return flow side, not the inflow side. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the infrastructure we have, I mean, some of it's 100-150 years old. And so, you know, we look for cheap and innovative ways to do it. But with the lead pipe program, there's really no other way around it. And so, you know, we'll spend $40 million of this federal money that we received to make sure 4,000 homes no longer have unsafe drinking water due to lead. And like, I should also just clarify too, I mean, we do put out a chemical in the water now that lines the pipes right now, that so we don't really have particularly high levels of lead in our water. So I don't want people to think we're Flint, Michigan, because we're not.
Wow.
But yeah. I do. But it's still low levels that are there. There's not really any safe level that is there. And so we want to make sure that people have access to safe drinking water, and what we're sending into the homes is safe for people to drink.
Remember Aaron Brockovich? You ever see that movie?
I do.
Remember when the people from the gas company came?
Yeah.
And they gave her a glass of water, and
here you go. We got it special for you.
Yeah. That was so good. I got to watch that movie again.
Yeah.
For the mayor, this is from Pat. For the mayor, why are we giving the contract to the new hotel for running the festival site without giving the current one a chance to continue making the city more money than it's made in years? And I understand they are going to make a ballroom and hotel out of it. The current operators have finally brought life back to it like Salmonorama, back in the concerts, making it affordable for the highly taxed residents. Thank you, Pat.
Yeah. So I'm glad you asked. Glad to talk about it. So first, let's talk about the good part of what we've seen from Festival Hall, Memorial Hall. We've certainly seen more events. We've got a farmer's market. You've got Harbor Fest coming back. We had a really successful Empty Bowls program. And that's great, right? We've wanted to extend the contract. What we cannot get from 5K are actual discernible numbers about what their income is and what their costs are. And when they say to us, so we just need you to cover whatever our losses are, And that's the condition of renewing the contract. It's like, what do you mean we need to cover whatever your losses are? We need to see your numbers. So, you know, I love that Festival Hall has been going well, you know, and so you think, why is the mayor fighting over this? I love that Salmon Rama is going to be there. And just to be really clear, nobody's threatening to take 5K away to this to make those events go away. That's not what's happening. Pat needs to show us his numbers, like actual, reliable, verifiable numbers on what his income is and his costs are.
And that's not the person who sent it, Pat.
Yeah, I'm talking about Pat Flynn, who's got the contract. Right. Sorry. He needs to show us reliable numbers. So this sort of thing of him, you know, getting people scared that Salmon or Rama won't happen now and this is terrible. We would like to extend a contract. But here's the other thing. The other thing I hear from voters all the time is, man, our property taxes are really high. You know, what are we going to do about this? So in a year where we had to go to referendum just to keep 9 firefighters on staff, I can't write 5K a blank check and say, go do whatever you want. Everybody has to live in a budget, right? Everybody. And so we are happy to sit down with them any day next week, except for Memorial Day, obviously. And I can tell you, our city administrator and our city attorney have been asking for these numbers for a long time. So I don't generally spill tea in the middle of a contract negotiation, but 5K is trying to scare everybody into believing that we're going to tear the Festival Hall down or that all the contracts are going to, you know. So if you want that contract to continue, you have to show us your books, because we have a responsibility to taxpayers to make sure that everything's getting taken care of. And I will also say this, it can't simultaneously be that they're making more money than ever and they need more subsidy from the city of Racine taxpayers. Like those can't be true at the same time. So look, the city of Racine officials, the city attorney and the city administrator are happy to continue meeting with 5K for as long as it takes to reach a contract, but they have to show us their numbers, verifiable numbers, not numbers written out on a spiral notebook, but actual verifiable numbers. So we know what their income is and their costs are. We have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers to make sure that that they're getting value for what's there and that there's not anything going on. So far, I don't know if they're unable to produce those numbers or they're unwilling to, but so far, we don't know what the costs are. And we would very much like to see what those costs are so that we can bring this to a conclusion. But lastly, I want to make sure people understand, we will make sure that the events that are scheduled for this summer continue. But there is no contract that's being handed over to another group. We've certainly had other people say, seems like something weird's going on with 5K. If they're not going to run it, we'd like a shot at it. So we're happy to continue to talk to 5K, but you got to show up with the numbers. You got to do your homework and you got to know this is a facility that's owned by taxpayers, not by 5K. And we have a responsibility to have great events that people love, which we're so happy about. But we also have a responsibility to taxpayers to make sure that we know what's going on and that the costs are fair.
And with regard to the ballroom and hotel, you can't build it, right?
Yeah. So look, there was a proposal before COVID 7 years ago that we would potentially try to do a new festival hall and put a 5-story hotel and all this other stuff. DNR said it's too close to the lake. You can't build it there. COVID hit, the market on it collapsed. And so we moved on. And so now we've got Hotel Verdant down there instead. And we're having great success with that. But nobody's tearing down Festival Hall. There's no proposal in front of us to tear down Festival Hall.
And one last time, it's pronounced
Hotel Verdant,
not Verdant.
Right. The owners of the hotel pronounce it Hotel Verdant.
Okay, we want to get that straight.
Yeah, yeah.
You heard it here from the mayor, Verdant.
Yeah.
Because I say it either way, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor, for coming in.
Glad to be here. Have a happy Memorial Day, everyone.
Happy Memorial Day.
It's, right?
I know.
It's
you want to
so
say
weird.
It. You want to
so
say it. How about this? Have happy family gatherings on Memorial Day this year.
Let's be happy about the freedoms we have those who gave their ultimate sacrifice in memorial on Memorial Day. So, so let's do that. But yes, let's remember the people who served. I mean, it's great to go to the sales and all the other stuff. But if people can get to an event where we remember those who've fallen in defense of our liberties, I would encourage them to do so.
And kudos, shout out to Nicholas. And what, he starts with a W. How do you pronounce his last name?
Wilchin.
Wilchin.
Yeah.
He gets all this together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nicholas.
No, thank you.
All right. See you next month.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Mayor.